Welcome everyone to JMC Live. Tonight we are going to be discussing Send Out in such a way that you may have never experienced it before. Tonight we're going to talk about what God is doing in America, what God is doing across this wonderful land of ours here in the United States. We're going to talk about what's happening in Canada, what's happening across the globe, and I'm excited to see the nations come together for the cause of Jesus Christ. This is our wonderful, you know, July broadcast. We decided to call it Send Out. We wanted to try and go another step on following up from the recap broadcast, and what we wanted to do is just get that message out there, telling people what Jesus is doing, what God is doing in America and across the nations. Hey, Bailey. Hey, Roosevelt. Hey, guys. I hope you're all having a good evening, and God is, you know, strengthening you for what he has planned for your life. I want to start this evening with a prayer before we transition to the conversational topics tonight and what God is doing going from COVID to now to the future. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time of fellowship coming together, Lord. We thank you for what you've done during the COVID season and what's happened after COVID and today, and the conversations that are going towards the future of what ministry looks like, what revival looks like, what it means to be a Christian, and how you've called us to go forward to be sent out amongst the nations. God, I'm so grateful and thankful for the many blessings and the things that you have done in my life and the lives of others. By the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen and amen. So I want to start with this, going to the book of Genesis. So I want you to get out your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 41. And while you're waiting on that, we'll just do a little highlights. The last broadcast was a recap of the Send Out Conference with a Vietnamese translation. The lady that was with us is Christine, but the other lady, she's going to be going back to Vietnam to do some missionary work. And there's a couple other folks that are going to Vietnam to do missions, and others that are currently in Malaysia, Singapore, China, and across the globe as well. We're going to discuss about what it means to be sent out, and I'll have a little conversation about some of the things that has happened in the past with the other conferences and the other things that God is doing, so that you may be encouraged in your neck of the woods, as they say in the South, that God is trying to make a difference in your life and the lives of others. So we go to Genesis chapter 41. We're going to look at the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're going to break this up between both sides of the house just to see what God talks about commissioning. Because we all know what Jesus says. That's what our slogan is here. You know, working together to fulfill the Great Commission. So let's wrap it all together with a couple of verses and then some conversation dialogue in between. Y'all ready? Genesis chapter 41, verse 34. It says, "Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance." Now, the word 7 years of abundance is very important, because Israel would do a forgiveness of debt like in 7 year intervals during this time. So it's very important as we look at back at Genesis about Pharaoh trying to take over a fifth of the harvest. Harvest connecting to our ditch digger series, connected to everything else that God is doing. This is an exciting thing to see what is happening. So we look at Genesis 41:34, that even Pharaoh himself was trying to work in an abundance. And if you've had anything that is an abundance and a season in your life, where you're able to, you know, buy dresses for your wife, or maybe you get some car repair or some kind of other thing going on in your life, you try and take care of yourself. Plus, you're also wanting to bless other people if you're being a good steward of your financial money and where you're going and how you're operating. Again, I wanted to tie this into what has happened since the Send Out Conference. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10. If you look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee into Pharaoh, that thou may bring forth the people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So in this moment, we're looking at the shifting from what happened in Genesis to Exodus. We're now talking about Pharaoh having his heart and hard, callous heart transformed to say, "Yeah, I don't want these Israelites anymore. I want to commission out of my land." And we know the story of how this goes. He transforms, he moves out, he does the different things that he's doing. So here in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, he's making that decree that that it's going to happen, that the children of Israel will be brought out and commissioned out. This is correlated to many things that happen in our lives. Think about so many people that we know today that are not Christians that have effect on our lives. They could be our coworkers, they could be family members, they could be our managers, they could be our teachers, our professors, our neighbors, people that are in our lives that make decisions. God still makes decisions with people, whether you are a Christian or not. Because many times, if you won't listen to what God says and you want to sit here and say, "Curse God and die," you don't want to have anything to do with him. He's still going to go into your life, into the seasons of things that you have, and transform your life and your business and your job and everyone else that's around you and what's happening. Now, interesting enough, in the same book in Exodus later on, there's another commissioning and sending out, and this is found in Exodus 23, verse 28. This is a buzzing moment, and it's kind of interesting because we did have one of these on our porch today. "And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee." So this is like a plague of hornets that went out to send all these people away. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever had some kind of swarm of a situation that dealing in your life that you just didn't know what was going to happen, where you're going to go, and the next thing you know, God sends a version of some kind of hornet of a situation to get rid of your thing? Obviously, not many of us can say we've had a swarm of bees or hornets or wasps or something like that come among us and, you know, send us into a complete, you know, destructive moment in our life. Many of us have not had that, so we can't relate to it. But this next verse in Deuteronomy, many of us can. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, I'll give you a bit to get to that. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28. While you're waiting to go to that, talk a little bit more about send out. During our send out conference, we had many leaders come together all around the world for multiple broadcasts from 2020 to 2022-ish, and people came together, had translations of multiple languages, and many of these leaders have gone on and created new ministries, new podcasts. They've gone on and doing revivals and open-air meetings, tent meetings. Some of them are doing stadium events, and it's just an exciting time right now to see what God is doing across the world. So let's look at this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28. It says, "But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see." Now, when was the last time you've ever been in a situation where you were told to be a steward of the times that you were in, a steward of the things that you had in your life? When was the last time you had something like that happen? I know many of us are not having this coming straight out front of us, in the forefront, telling us where we are, what we're doing, how we're going to get there, and what direction we're going to go. Many times, faith leaders, it's not like there's just a book on the table over here. Like if I take this little devotion book, it's not like somebody just walks up to you and says, "Here's the book of Ashley. Here's the book of Michael. Here's the book of Miranda. Now turn, you know, to page, June 30th. Or turn to page 186 and you don't know what to do today." Life doesn't work like that. Sometimes it's trial and error. Sometimes it's a different situation that comes in our life and it changes us and it transforms us from the inside out. And it brings us people as a mosaic that come together. Leaders from all different tribes and tongues and nations saying that they want to work together to fulfill the Great Commission. They want to sing, they want to teach, they want to dance, they want to preach. And they set aside their own differences of who they are and where they are in their lives and what they're trying to do. For a goal that's bigger than themselves, bigger than the ministry that's residing in it, because they have a desire to see Jesus move in the nations. Let me read this again. But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead this people across and cause them to inherit the land that you will see. Many of us have a moment in our lives right now where we're making decisions that will affect the future of not only our ministry, but our families and our friends and our community. And many things will change based on what we do and where we go. Now let's look at another version of this. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 14. When you get to Deuteronomy 31, verse 14, just let me know. I'll give you a few more moments to turn into that. That's Deuteronomy 31, 14. So a mosaic is like an abstract group of people. It's like a collage. It's a group of people coming together that are not necessarily the most well-spoken, the most well-rehearsed, those that have the most money or the least amount of money. It's groups of people that have come together that made a decision to do what God has called them to do. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 31, verse 14. Israel's rebellion predicted. The Lord says to Moses, "Now the day of your death is near." When's the last time you ever heard that you know someone was expected to die? You get a phone call, you're told to come to the house, you're told to go to the hospital, you're told to go somewhere, and they say they don't have a lot of time left, you need to say your final words. This could be it. This is what's happening, but it's God saying it to Moses. It says, "Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting where I will commission him." So Moses and Joshua came and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. There's going to come a point in your life where if you're the student, you become the teacher. Where you're the child, you become the adult. When you are a child or an adult, you become a parent. If you have children, if you're the child, you become an adult. You repeat the process over and over again. If you want to become a teacher, you first must be a student. If you want to become a professor, you must become a student. Trial through a proctor and then move on and become a professor or a lawyer, or you go through boot camp or you go through some kind of other experience of training before you move into this next stage of your life. Again, what happened from 2020 to 2022, that experience of coming together with Global Missions Vision during a global pandemic of people of different tribes and races and different ways of communicating was not an easy task. Like I said, we were working 10 days for 20 hours a day with preparations and during it because there was not a lot of people involved. Many things worked, some things did not, but many people around the world learned about Jesus Christ. Many people were excited. Ministers that were struggling, some of them that were just watching the broadcast that didn't participate, that thought this was the end, many people did not lose hope. And now people are going out and being sent out to do what God has called them to do. That's what's happening right now in America and across the globe. There's a transition of some leadership of younger people and older people that haven't been involved in certain positions. There's a shifting of the guard, a changing of the guard happening. God is doing a new thing, an exciting thing in the world, in the nations today. And it's at a wonderful time to be a Christian today, to seek out what Jesus is doing. As you'll learn later tonight about what Vision 20 is, you'll learn later tonight about what God is trying to do. And I know a lot of people, what's happened, they've gotten really frustrated. many people have said, well, Jeremy, we don't have a tent revival going on. Jeremy, we don't have more than 10 people going to our church. Jeremy, most of our churches shut down. Most of our businesses have shut down. Jeremy, there's crime in our area. I can't go out at certain times of the day. Where's the revival for us? I said, it's all around you every day. It's in the hearts of people. Revival isn't necessarily a sign of a large tent revival. It's not necessarily a sign of a group of people coming together on the internet and there's a large crowd. It's not always a concert. Revival starts in the hearts of men and women, young and old. It starts with prayer and fasting. It starts with listening to what God is doing to help lead them to where they need to go next. Which leads us to our next verse, Jeremiah chapter 7. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 7 for me. I'm going to correlate this to what I just said. With prayer and fasting, and that revival is not something. Revival shifts from church to church, to city to state to country. It doesn't necessarily reside on one church all the time. It changes because revival is just an up peak of something that happens, and then there's a consistency of things that continue on after revivals. Now, the sad part is many people, the time that we spend reading the word, listening to sermons, singing praises to God. And if you're like me and Miranda, we haven't been able to sing in a while. We're having to listen to other people sing. But how much time, if you could tabulate on paper how much time in your day, in a week, that actually attributes to something for Jesus. I mean, are you cooking something for Jesus, for someone else? Are you going to help someone else out? What is it that you're doing for Jesus today? What is it you're doing for God today? I have to ask that question. I really wanted to know what it was that is happening in your life, the transformation in your life and the lives of others. What exactly is Jesus doing in that moment for you right now? And it's summed up in Jeremiah 7, verse 25. It says, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets. Now, these last few words describe revival. Daily rising up early and sending them. So there are many people right now that have a heart for prayer. They have a heart for fasting. They have a heart for reading the word or singing or being an encouragement or doing some kind of gift or doing something to help somebody out. And they rise early, or they stay up late, or maybe you're not well and you're sick, or you're older and you're limited in the amount of time that you have. You have a lot of children, a lot of responsibility with your work and other things. You don't have a lot of time. The time that you do have available, the 1 hour a day, the 30 minutes a day, what do you have to spend for God? And how can you use your skill set for God in all the ways that God wants to bless you and lead you to that place that he wants to help you and guide you and direct you in Jesus' name? That's where we turn to the second verse in Jeremiah. We go to Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16. And as you're waiting to turn to that, again, if we look back at the send-out conference and leaders coming together. So me and Christine and others, we were coming together with like Google Docs and other things of that nature. And we were having a discussion on picking times to pray, to sing, picking times to speak, and getting bios and other things of that nature. So once the logistics and all that was done, now it's time to, you know, start the broadcast and everything and get people together. It's a learning experience. So what's going to happen in America, there's going to be a shift. There's going to be this amazing opportunity. We're seeing Sean Foyt. We're seeing other ministries coming about, Christ for the Nations. You're seeing other people waking up and rising up and saying, it's time to do what God wants to do. But there are these naysayers right now. There are these naysayers that want to, you know, spread either some kind of fake news or say nothing's going on because nothing's happening in my city. And that may be true. You may not know what's happening. Or it could be that nothing is happening in, I don't know, fill in the blank wherever you live or whatever country you're wanting to talk about. But friends, you come talk to me. You tell me what country you're from. You tell me what state you're in, what province, what county, what parish, or whatever it is. I will find somebody where you live that's involved in something. And in some cases, I won't find it because there's a bunch of chaos and discord going in that area. And that's going to tell me I need to start praying for Christians to come into that area, whether it's, you know, Russia, or it's Canada, or it's Afghanistan, or Vietnam, or the United States, or Australia, Louisiana, Florida, New York, whatever it is, Kenya, Nairobi, wherever you are, there's got to be an opportunity to listen and dig into what God is doing. If we truly are in what I wrote in my article, that this is, you know, a group of people coming together for the end of days and training one another, and that we are in the third great awakening, and we're preparing the template for the 144,000 people that get saved after the rapture, then that's where we're at right now in some places. Because some places have already had the Christian experience, and now people have turned away from God and they don't want nothing to do with God. But friends, there's still about almost 4,000 languages that still need to be translated with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's going to take people working together to fulfill the Great Commission. It's going to take people waking up and doing what God has called us to do. If we go to Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16. It says, "Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks." Did you know the Bible says that if you don't pray, the rocks cry out to him? And as we look in this, there's going to be fishermen and hunters, and they're going to go into every hill and mountain place and do what God has called them to do. If there's a place right now that you honestly can tell me that has not heard the gospel other than the 5,000 languages left. If you're not one of those that have never had the Bible translated, what is the excuse for the Bible to not be where you're at right now? Is it something to do with the leadership in your government? Is it something to do with the leadership in your school or in your business and what's happening in your home and in your schools? What's happening in your grocery store and your banks and everywhere else? What are you doing right where we're at? You don't need to wait until you get a broadcast like this to start making effect to God. You got to remember, I started doing stuff in school. I took a notebook and wrote my first sermon in public school. I show up early and stayed outside early when I got off the bus and started holding my Bible and ministering to people who walked by that knew who I was, saying, "Can I pray for you?" I pray for them on the spot. I pray for them on the bus. I pray for them before class began. When class was done, I pray for them in the class. I didn't make loud noises. People didn't always have to know what I was doing. But there's an opportunity here to do what God has called you to do. You don't have to wait for your Moses experience. Let's go to Numbers chapter 27, verse 23. Numbers 27, verse 23. It says, "He then laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses." See, some of you right now are going to have some hands laid on you. And I'm not talking about someone's going to blow up a fist and punch you in the face like happened to me on third shift at the grocery store and I fell on the floor. We're not talking about that. We're actually talking about someone praying for you. When was the last time someone earnestly, honestly prayed with you and for you? Not just the post, "I'm praying for you," or prayers. Someone that actually got in a chat, got on a phone call, or was in a one-on-one person, held your hand, put the hand on your shoulder, put the hand on your head, or they put the hand out here, you know, the wax on, wax off kind of thing. Wax on, you know. What was the last time, can you remember the last time someone earnestly prayed with you? Was it your grandma? For me, that's my biggest memory, is my grandma praying for me. See, my grandma, once she had arthritis and lupus and all sorts of stuff, I remember when she fell on me, trying to grab a tree branch, and then that led her to eventually get into the wheelchair. But she was a praying woman. She was stuck at home. She didn't have a driver's license. You know, she was just sitting there reading the Bible, watching some John Wayne or something else. Like in her musicals and things like that. But she would read the Bible and she would pray. She earnestly prayed for me. She'd pray in the morning. She'd pray at lunch. She'd pray at night. And she was praying and reading her Bible as much as she could. As often as she could. And one of the things she prayed about was about my future and what God was going to do in my life and how He was going to transform my life and bring me to a place in the future of what He wanted me to do. He was praying for my mom's boyfriends that she went through, and my mom's, you know, future husband and stepdad and all that. She prayed beyond all that for my graduation and my future. And she started having these dreams and visions, very bright dreams and visions. And she would tell me, Jeremy, You're gonna do music. You're gonna do great. You're eventually gonna be a speaker. Now you gotta realize, I was not the orator of communication in school. In the fifth grade, I had to ask my mom and grandma to help me write my essay papers, and it took me a whole week to do it. I struggled with math and failed numerous times throughout elementary, junior high, of trying to get, you know, English class and math. I was great on some of the other classes, but I struggled with what I could do. I was a child that had asthma. I was told that I couldn't do any kind of sports or any kind of anything. And I had to bring my inhaler to school. And I had to do a breathing treatment at school with the nurse. Many of the PE events I wasn't involved with, I didn't participate with. But then one day, when I got out of high school and signed up for an internship, I started running and I met a guy who was my age, a little bit older, who had full-blown adult asthma. I finished my mile and a half jog, and he still had a half a mile to go. He had to walk it. And he couldn't do it. And he's like, you know, he had the breathing and all the different difficult issues. And I realized at that moment, something was different with me in that moment, that God must have healed me. And fast forward 2000 to 2004, when I decided to go outside in a, you know, January, February moment in Houston, Texas, on the sidewalk. And I said, I'm going to walk this block of a couple of houses. I made a decision. I'm going to walk two houses. I'm going to jog two houses. That's how I started this. So I just walked two houses, jog, real slow jog. I was soaked in sweat. I was coughing, and I took a shower, and I went to bed. I did it like 9:30 in the morning. And then I realized I got to do this again about 7 o'clock. So I missed lunch because I slept that day. And got up later on and went outside and did it again. And after week, I started being able to do more than what I did the week before, to eventually this, you know, quarter of a mile, half a mile stretch from the end of the street to the end of the street where they met, and I run down and back. I could jog it both ways. And I realized, you know, I had childhood asthma. My mother was a smoker. There were things in the home that were not safe that caused my lungs to not develop properly, because there was, you know, cigarette smoke in the house. Everything was, you know, brown. My mom's room, where she smoked the most, all of her blinds and the walls weren't white. They were brown from all the cigarette smoking. Her car, where she sat, the driver's seat and the handle, was all brown from smoking. And I wasn't exposed to that anymore. And God healed me. God laid His hands on me and instructed me to go where He wanted me to go next. Which leads us to another portion of the recap before we get to the end of this. So for an amazing moment like the Send Out Conference, or Revive us, O Lord, or other things of that nature, for all the wonderful ministries that you see that do large events, whether it's a large song fest or a tent revival, or maybe it's a grouping. There's going to be people that get along. There's going to be people that don't get along. Decisions that are made, decisions that are cast to the side. But you have to come together like a family. You're going to become very intimate with one another. You're going to learn many things about one another. Me and Christine, spending 10 days, 20 hours a week, we knew everything about each other. Because we literally had 4 hours off. And you have to understand, if you want to do what God has called you to do, you got to make a sacrifice sometimes. I have reports from Canada and the United States and Africa and other nations about, you know, how revival was exciting. And then I hear the behind the scenes story of there was, you know, this thing that didn't work out and, you know, there were problems and, you know, so on and so forth. But you had to focus in on what God wanted you to do, where he wanted you to go, and how he wanted you to operate that. I mean, I'm thinking about this week being the week that my stepfather passed away when I was in the military. You know, I could let the things of this world hold me down. But if you do that and say, I don't have the skills, I don't have what I need to accomplish these goals, and you don't let God fill in the gap for you, or as the song says, Jesus take the wheel, you're not going to get very far. You're going to be like a person on an escalator that just walks the first step. You're on a treadmill, but you didn't turn it on, and you're not moving. You're expecting to go somewhere, and you're looking around, and you're not getting anywhere, not accomplishing anything. What is it that's your heart's desire today? Before we read the big famous verse that is our ministry mission statement, many people already know this. Before we get into that, what is it that is a desire in your heart today? What is it that has you gleaming for joy because you know you are doing exactly what God's calling you to do? Or maybe you're in that situation right now where you don't know what you're supposed to be doing. You don't know where you're supposed to be going. And you're kind of stuck in a rut. And you're like, God, I don't know what to do. I just got saved. Maybe that's you. You know, what is it you're doing? For those of you that are struggling, and there's many people in all the chats have already posted wonderful answers. And all those answers are correct. I'm going to read some of them. So when you start reading your Bible every day, and you start praying every day, God starts telling you in his different ways. So we all communicate with God in different ways. We all hear Jesus in different ways. Some people say it's an audible voice. Some people say, you know, they're reading a word and see something. Sometimes it's delivering the message through another person, or maybe through a ministry event or something else of that nature. A broadcast, a radio broadcast, a book, a podcast, a sermon, a pastor, your family, your friends, somebody else. Something has come to you and caused you to think differently about your life and the lives of others. And God makes that decision to, you know, stir your heart about that. And I've talked about this many, many times about some people will cook and clean and other people will preach and teach and how not to get burned out, that your work job may not necessarily be your ministry job. So if you're an accountant, you may not necessarily be the person that does the books for the church because you're constantly in numbers all day and you get burned out. That's not always the case. That's not always what happens in your life and the lives of others and the things that happen. It isn't always like that. God doesn't always do those kinds of things in those kinds of ways. God is an amazing God, is he not? With the wonderful places that he's put us, and the wonderful things that he's done. Isn't God an exciting God today? And with what he's doing in our nation, in our world today? I cannot tell you how many times I have been excited to see where God is going and what God is doing. Because I'm telling you, friends, when you realize that thing that God has put in your heart for somebody else or some other place, it wakes you up in such a way that you don't want to be any different. A lot of people will start doing a Bible study and they don't realize the effect that it's going to change, because some of us, as we discussed on our other broadcast, and I'll recap a little bit here, we can go in depth on some of the other shows, we can talk about that later on. Some of us plant seeds, which are ditch diggers, and some of us are, you know, are going forth to do different kinds of things with what God has in our lives and the lives of others. Some of us sow the fruit of what other people have done. We've dug down and done the things that God has called us to do and the places He wants us to be, and we see the fruits of other people's labor and all the different things that are happening. And I tell you, it's not an issue of, you know, not seeing the fruit coming to fruition, because sometimes when you come about and do what God wants you to do, it's instantaneous. You see it. You see the fruits of it. You're watching someone, you know, learn. Things are transforming. Other times, that doesn't happen. It moves into different ways and moves into different mountains in your life and the lives of others. Sometimes things take a long, long, long time to get to another point and seek out what God is doing and how God is trying to transform the lives of others. And when you do that, what happens is you're able to seek out what God is doing in such a way that you realize you got to wait. Some of us are impatient, though. We don't want to wait for that, you know, glory moment with what God is doing. We want to see it right now. We want to know where it is that God is doing and how we're doing it and how we're communicating and what He wants us to do. Other times we have to just endure. Which leads us to this next message. Matthew 28, the big famous, it's on our slogan, working together to fulfill the Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. While you're waiting to turn into that, and many of you already know this, I had a meeting yesterday with a guy from Canada. We were talking about, you know, our different meetings with the Salvation Army and other ministries and things that have happened and where things are going and how things are growing and how what we're going to see in his lifetime and what I'll see in mine and the lifetimes of others. And, you know, statistically speaking, what would you need to see to reach a lot of people if technology doesn't advance enough to reach those people? And we threw out, I think, 100,000 churches in Canada was the number. I think 110,000 is what we said would need to happen, you know, to reach XYZ amount of people in XYZ amount of time. But with the power of the gospel and technology and the Holy Spirit, look at all these leaders throughout the history. Look at the 12 disciples. They didn't have social media. They didn't have Facebook. They weren't even necessarily the ones writing the book that they passed out everywhere. They didn't have T-shirts and hats and CDs to hand out to people. You know, as far as I know, the Sermon on the Mount wasn't a T-shirt and a CD that got passed out. And probably more than likely, if there was a CD and a T-shirt, Jesus would have taken his whip and broke all the CDs, set fire to all the books, and broke the table in half. And got mad and said we were all guilty. But these 12 disciples made a difference in the lives of their friends and their family. They made a difference in what Jesus was trying to do in that day. So as we look at this, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, it says, "And the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" 19, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." Now, think about that for a minute. Jesus is saying this to the disciples, and he's saying this to any Christian that becomes a Christian in the future. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This commissioning was for the disciples. It was for me. It was for you and your friends and your family and your co-workers and your fellow students and your teachers and your lawyers and your professors. It's for the person at the grocery store. It's for the person down the street at Wendy's. It's for the person that makes your wings and puts the barbecue sauce on it. It's the person that makes your spaghetti sauce and your barbecue. It's the person that cuts your grass and cuts your trees. The person that, you know, lays down the flowers outside, or maybe they're pouring concrete or tar or rocks for the roads. It's for everybody. Again, what are you wanting to do for Jesus? And if you don't have an answer, it starts with saying, "Here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, I want to use all my skills." See, the thing is, we don't know how to communicate with ourselves or our friends and our family. How are we going to communicate with Jesus? Because if we're terrified to communicate with just those around us, you're going to be even more terrified to communicate with the Lord and Savior, the Omnipotent, the Alpha and Omega, the Great I Am, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But you shouldn't be afraid. That's one of the things why revival doesn't happen in your town, in your city, with your family, with your nation. It's fear and chaos and discord and disagreement are the five big things that stop revival and restoration and continuation and prosperity and all those different things that happen when Jesus blesses somebody. Now, we all know through the power of the world wants to hide this broadcast. They want to hide what Jesus is doing through this ministry and that ministry. And you may not see it online because it's being blocked, or maybe they don't know how to use technology. But the Holy Spirit, last I checked, doesn't need a Facebook feed. You don't need to wait until this is working. If I could screenshot you right now what's going on, one of my broadcasts is down, and in the past that completely shut the whole live stream down, but only one of the five is not working and everything else is working. I'm looking at four feeds right now that are working out of five. Why did the one go down? I have no idea, but the devil is mad. We had an incident this week that made the devil mad. We had an incident multiple times throughout this year that have made the devil mad, because God is getting the glory in what he's doing in the nations today. If you want to see a mosaic of a group of people coming together to seek out what God is doing, you need to find like-minded Christians that you can fellowship with, physically in church and online. And some of them come into your homes. We got friends like Tina and Michelle and others that come online that we have fellowship. We write each other. We pray with each other and communicate. We have Pastor Bobby and Pastor Clinton and others that are on Clapper and Facebook and TikTok and elsewhere. And some of them have my phone number, and we talk to one another. And we have Bible study. You know, this morning I was in a meeting with Malaysia again and Singapore and others, and I was kind of late because what happened? The devil was mad. But things happened yesterday that caused Miranda to be sick, and up most of the night I was tired. Obviously, I'm going to tell you the truth, I woke up later than I wanted. Instead of 7 o'clock, I woke up like 7:30-ish. But my phone did not want to properly connect to Zoom. And the computer was being weird as well. It didn't need an update. Just things, technology was like on a hold in a vice. And I ended up not making the meeting that I was supposed to meet at 8 o'clock until 9:30. So that there's normally a two-hour block for these prayer meetings. The meetings start around 5 with the Philippines and other countries. And then it shifts around 8 o'clock to 10 with Malaysia and other countries that come together. That first hour, 8 to 9 Eastern, They're praying for the world. They're praying for Malaysia. They're praying for specific countries. They're praying for Israel, praying for the United States, praying for specific different countries in Asia, or they're breaking it down in different things in Malaysia, like business or law or other different things that were happening. But I got on, and I made coffee late last night because everything that was happening. Got on, and what eventually we did, I had the phone plugged in by my stairs, and I was getting stuff together. Brandon wanted to bring the cat and the dog outside, so I had it plugged into our charger so it wouldn't die, and had all the other phones charging because we're having to monitor more stuff than we normally are. And we got the cat and the dog outside, and I set the phone. So my door is like not a straight wall. It's not a flat wall with a door. It's a corner. And the door, like, you go into the corner and you go in the door. So that little nook and cranny between the window and the door, I didn't even have my phone on full volume. I don't know if Miranda's watching this. The phone volume was at 70 to 65%. I set it in that corner and I kind of angled it just a little bit. It echoed off the brick, off the concrete, off the wall. People could hear it all the way down the street. Miranda's like, it's a little loud. I said, I'll turn it down a little bit. People could hear these Malaysians all across our neighborhood praying. See, the devil, when you realize what the devil is, he was the principality of the air. He was the musician of all musicians. He was the American idol. He was the American's Got Talent. He was the world Got Talent. He is the best pizzazz, a singer and orator you could possibly imagine, of getting all the angels together and start singing and dancing and jamming to Jesus, right? And then he falls out of heaven. So he's this power over the airwaves. And he doesn't like when people talk about Jesus and talk about what God is doing and where God wants to lead people. I'm telling you today, there's going to be an amazing time come together when people seek out and seek out what God is doing. See, there is going to be, as Pastor Dr. Joshua Long talks about, he's talking about a vision 20%. And we talked about this many years before 2019-2020 event, about what God was going to do, that there would be like a 20% increase in what was going to happen in ministry. So more prayer lines and more prayer homes and more worship teams, people meeting in their homes and people meeting online and people meeting in their churches, and other events going to happen, and people are going to start traveling. Other people are going to be stewards of their money and pay off their debt, and they're going to start donating to other people or donating their skills or their foods and their times and other things of that nature. See, when you realize and do exactly what God has called you to do, when you do exactly what God has called you to do, an amazing opportunity gets presented to yourself and to the selves of the others, people in your life. And when that happens, a 20% increase happens in your life and the lives of others. And Dr. Joshua DeWong's plan was that we were going to create a social media broadcast similar to TikTok, similar to Clapper, similar to Facebook. Right now, Savior Connect is kind of one of those, but that's the one that's actually down. Savior Connect is not, the live doesn't stay on for whatever reason. All these sites needed money and needed time and needed the capability to grow. And I have to tell you, for those of you looking to screenshot on Facebook and elsewhere, this is growing by leaps and bounds in Vietnam, where it started. And people are coming together for the cause of Jesus Christ in Vietnam on Vision 20 like you can't believe. There are people that are being trained to come to the United States and go to other countries, all for the sake and the cause of what Jesus is doing. And friends, I've been working on this to come to America. It'll be in America as soon as we get done testing it a lot better in the rest of the world. There are some people that are on there that we're working on bugs for our country to block some of the bugs that are happening and do exactly what God wants us to do. And this will be a future place where we'll have conferences online. on Vision 20 app, on your phone, or on your computer, or on your tablet. Our future conferences are going to be on this app. And God is going to open the door for you to be able to see things in multiple languages. The site is being translated into over 100 plus languages. And what's going to be cool, there's a button, you can't really see it really well, but on the screen, it shows like a USA. You will be able to, you know, post your post, and you can pick the drop down, and it's going to automatically translate into another country. And that's the other thing. At the same time this is happening, for those of you that have Microsoft products, such as Office, there is a translator on Office, and there's also a translator on Facebook, where I don't know if you realize it, if you are seeing posts from other nations, you can now click translate, and it auto-translate the text for you. And it's automatically doing it in Microsoft, because I use it already, so that when I get an email at work, coming from India, or coming from Africa or Asia, it auto-translates to English, as long as the word is spelled in a certain way. And that's what's going to happen. God's going to open the doors for amazing stuff. So vision20.biz and vision20.us and all the other sites, this is going to continue to grow. At the same point, while things like Facebook or things like Twitter are having issues, you know, with the gospel getting out, God is not going to be hindered by social media. The young people and the old people that are rising up in the United States and the rest of the world have pretty much said they've had enough of the status quo. Many people are tired of the ridiculousness that has happened, and they don't want to just shoot, you know, Cheerios out of their nose in a youth group. They want to get into the Word. They want to spend time in the Word. There's others that want to seek out God's face and hear His message, and they want to sing and they want to pray, like what happened at Asbury. And that's going to happen in other places, and it already is, just as we discussed. And there's going to be an article coming out, I think next month or the month after that, from Jill, who we recently interviewed about the Missouri revival that I helped behind the scenes about. No, I was not the speaker. No, I was not the one that prayed. No, I was not the one that sang. No, I did not share a video to go onto their page to do. No, I was behind the scenes getting some things happening because God wanted me to do it this way. And I have good report to tell you that during that revival, many people were saved, many people rededicated their life, and now they're talking about coming together every month, multiple churches, and other churches have got on board of this vision, and they're going to have a multi-church meeting at a church location that rotates every month for 12 months. They've already got the schedule for the next 12 months. So from this July to next July, they already have revival scheduled of revivalists and pastors and speakers, and they're looking to find other pastors and speakers to get involved in Missouri and spread this out beyond Missouri, because the Christian National Revival was about coming together in July for a week or more to do what God has called us to do, to pray, to fast, to sing, to rededicate our lives, get people baptized, get people involved with church and missions and so on and so forth, and do what God has called us to do, because this is an amazing opportunity right now. You cannot delay in what God is doing and the awesomeness that Jesus is doing today and what God wants us to do and where He wants us to go and how He wants us to get there. Jesus wants to bring us, to send us out. Your sending out might be baking cookies. It might be writing encouraging notes, making text and phone calls. Your sending out could be an encouraging word. Your sending out could be, like I said, at McDonald's and paying for the person behind you. It could be a number of things. You could be like my grandmother, praying for someone for years. We all have an opportunity to get involved with small studies and Bible studies. Some of us pray. Some of us teach. Some of us do different things. And we seek out what God is doing in our families and in our homes in such a way that, you know, we don't have to worry about the different problems that come in our lives. We don't have to worry about what our future is going to hold out, because God is going to be there. Whether you you are successful, whether you fail or you don't, Jesus is going to take care of you. I hope you were encouraged by tonight's message of sending out. Again, sending out is going to look in different forms in your family, in your business, in your job, and what God is doing. Sending out is going to happen. There is revival in America. There are churches that are waking up in Canada. There are churches waking up in Vietnam and elsewhere. And people are making a difference. You might be meeting online with less than 12 people. You might be in a Facebook group with 10 people. You might be in your house with your mom, your dad, and just you. Revival begins in your heart, in your mind, in the transformation of your soul, getting saved when you're born again. You were revived when you were born again. Remember when you were born again? You were revived when you got baptized. You were revived when you shared with someone about the message of Christ and you shared your testimony. You were revived when you did what God called you to do. You were revived when you woke up and did exactly what God called you to do. This is an opportunity for you to go forward and to do exactly what God wants you to do. It is not like somebody told me this week that just recently blocked me on social media. They said, well, you know, I've lost a lot of stuff. A lot of things have happened in my life. And, you know, I was a Christian, or I grew up in a Christian home, but I'm not a Christian now. And they straight told me to my face and said, well, I have time later to get right. You know, I got a good business. I'm doing all right. I can wait. I can get better later on. I can do fine later on in my life. And later on in my life, I can, you know, just make a decision. I know I made some mistakes, but I'm a good person. I'll be all right. Not many people have time. Friend, do you know that I went to church on a Sunday night and I told my wife I wanted a milkshake? We made a left turn and we got T-boned practically. I got hit in the head-on collision. We could have died. You don't know when your last breath is. You don't know when your last days are. You don't know when that last moment's going to happen. And what's going to happen in your life or the life of somebody else. And what's going to become of you and your friends and your family. You got to wake up today and do what God has called you to do. Because He cares for you. He wants to take care of you. In spite of the things that have happened. In spite of the circumstances and the places that you have been. God wants to open that door so that you can be that person He's called you to be. You're sending out, first and foremost. If you are married, your send out is to your spouse. Your send out is to your kids. Your send out is to your family, your extended family. Your next step would be, are you school age, college age? Your peers, your friends. If you're a teenager or adult, your send out is to your co-workers and the associates and acquaintances wherever we go. Because people are watching us day in and day out. They're watching us, wanting to know what we're doing and where we're going and how we're getting there and what it is we're trying to do. So be encouraged today. As we shared last time with the send out recap, being translated into Vietnam, and it's going all across Vietnam, and it's being translated into other languages I'm heard as well. That God is going to open the door for you and your family and your friends. God is going to open the door so that you can do exactly what it is He's called you to do, so that you can do what He wants you to do. And my dog wants to come out here, be excited to talk to you maybe. I don't know. He came in here and said hello. But tonight, yeah, I want you to take this opportunity before we close. I won't close this without you having that chance to hear about what Jesus is doing in your life or in the life of other people. I want you to know that Jesus Christ loves you. I want you to know that God cares for you. And if you've not made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior today, if you've not let Him into your heart, now is the time. Please do not delay. Please don't wait till tomorrow. We don't know about tomorrow. Please go forward and do what God wants you to do. If you're not saved tonight, or you need to rededicate your life tonight, or you want to find a plan for your life about where it is you want to go and what it is you want to do in your life for Jesus, let me pray for you right now. Let us come together and pray to Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I pray for those right now that listen to this broadcast, that you touch their hearts and their minds today, that you touch them in such a way that they know that you are the true Lord and Savior. You are the Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That there's no other King of Kings and Lord of Lords but who you are. Lord, we pray for those that wish to be sent out amongst where you want them to be and what it is you want them to do, that you will guide them and you will direct them and lead them to where you want them to be, God. That you give them signs and wonders and decisions and wisdom and what it is that you want them to do, where it is you want them to go, how you want them to operate, the finances that they need, the people that they need to connect to, and the other places that you want them to go, that you will lead them in such a way that they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt who you are and what it is you want in their lives. Jesus, we want to thank you right now for the many blessings and the places that you've placed us and placed other people with the directions of what you're wanting them to do. Lord, we just pray for their future, for the decisions and the things where they will go. We will pray for the future send out conferences. We'll pray for all the ministries in the world that are making decisions to do something for missions, whether it's penny donation missions, or they're doing a short-term mission trip locally or abroad, wherever they are. For the translators, this next season is very important for translators, for the gospel to be heard, that the languages of the gospel, this almost 4,000, 5,000 languages not heard yet, will be translated in Jesus' name. That people will come to understand what the gospel of Jesus is for their lives and the lives of others. That you will send signs and wonders and miracles to lead them to what you want them to be, because you called them for such a time as this. Lord, we pray for the Vision 20 as it continues to grow and troubleshoots of Vietnam and elsewhere. Lord, we pray that you will just lead and guide people this Saturday night, Sunday morning, around the world. That you will help people where they are right now, Lord. We pray for the sick and those that are struggling that don't know Jesus today. That they will come to know who you are. And they will have a touch of you today, and they will listen to your word, and you will bring people in their life, and they will be convicted by the Holy Spirit to do what you called them to do. In Jesus' name, we pray. God, thank you for the many blessings you placed on our lives and the lives of others today. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen them, that you will guide them, and you'll lead them and direct them in Jesus' name, and that all the people here will be able to have signs and testimonies of who you are. Whether it's just they had a peaceful night, a restful evening, a blessed day, a good day, and they're not stressed out and they're doing exactly what you called them to do. Lord, we pray for our enemies. We pray for other people that have ill will towards us and others, with the things they physically say, the things they physically have done, whether it's financially, spiritually, physically, verbally, things they've written online. We pray for those that are against us right now, God, that you will send a blessing into their lives, into their families, into their homes, into their jobs, into their schools, to their universities and colleges and military and government in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for all these wonderful things. We bless your name tonight. By the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. God bless you. And we'll see you next time.